Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Between vacations, errands, and everyday summer chaos, sticking to your health goals can be tough. Luckily, Thrive Market does the hard work for you. We're the online healthy grocery store that cuts out the junk ingredients and delivers high-quality groceries right to your door. From low-sugar beach snacks to organic grill night staples, no matter your health goal, we make shopping healthy a breeze. Go to thrivemarket.com/get started for 30% off your first order and a free $60 gift.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
The woman in the passenger seat was staring straight ahead, correct?
Not in the passenger seat. I'm sorry, in the driver's seat.
Thank you for catching that. The woman in the driver's seat was staring straight ahead.
That is correct, sir.
You didn't see her lips moving as if she were talking, correct?
I wasn't looking for that. Just happened to see a woman figure with her hands like this.
Okay. Facing straight.
Correct, sir.
You had no music on in Ricky's truck at that time, correct?
No, sir.
Ricky had turned the music down when Julie came out so that you could actually speak to her, correct?
That is correct, sir.
And when you got close to that SUV while you were passing it, you didn't hear any arguing there, correct?
Correct.
You didn't hear any yelling, correct?
No, I did not.
You didn't hear any screaming?
No, I did not.
You heard no noises within that SUV at all?
No, I did not, sir.
I have no further questions. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Brennan.
Sir, you mentioned you were at that address around 12:30?
That is correct, sir.
And you offered us that you were there for about 5 minutes?
Yes, sir.
Did you know the exact time you left?
No. Not off the top of my head right now, no.
Was it around that time?
Yes, sir.
Would it be fair to say you don't have certainty whether it was 12:35, 12:32, 12 o'clock?
It was probably before 12:35, okay. Roughly between 12:30 and 12:35.
You could still see the ground given
yes,
the
sir.
Weather?
Yes, sir.
Was there snow starting to fall?
Just starting.
Had you been outside earlier that night?
Yes, sir.
And the ground that you could see, do you know how hard it was?
Say that again?
The ground.
The ground, yes.
Do you know if it was soft or hard?
Like the road?
The ground, the grass, the lawn.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it was a cold night, so I mean, I assume it's hard.
Around that time, around 12:30 when you left,
mm-hmm.
Was there inches of snow
No, there
on
was
the
not
ground?
Inches of snow, no. I could still see the grass coming through the snow. I mean, it's just like a coating.
You could still see the bare ground.
Correct, sir.
When you saw that SUV in front of you for the time that you were there, that 5 minutes, did you ever, and you said that you saw brake lights at times.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever see at that point missing parts of its taillights?
No, sir. I wasn't observing the vehicle like that.
When the taillights were on, when the brakes were on, what color was the glow?
Red, sir.
Did you ever see a missing piece where it was white instead of red?
No, sir.
Over near the flagpole where you saw this SUV, did you see any human being, any person, lying on the ground near the flagpole?
No, sir.
When you drove by the SUV, you said you couldn't see past the woman. Could you see inside the SUV when you drove past?
Repeat yourself, please.
When you drove past the SUV, you saw a woman in the driver's seat?
Yes, that is correct.
You didn't see anybody else?
No.
Do you know if anybody else was in that SUV?
Could have been.
I'll allow it.
It could have been.
From when you were driving by the SUV and you could see inside the driver's seat and saw the woman, could you see on the other side of the SUV if there was anybody standing on the other side of the SUV?
No, sir.
Was there anything obstructing your view as you drove by and saw the woman to prevent you from seeing on the other side of the SUV?
The woman and the vehicle itself.
You mentioned that there was a dome light on in the SUV.
Yes, sir.
Was the driver's side door open?
No, sir.
When you drove by?
No, sir, it was closed.
Can I have Exhibit 16, please? Did you ever see this man at any point?
No, sir.
Walking.
Walking
across the yard, going to a door, or entering the house the entire time you were there?
Objection.
Sustained.
No, sir, I've never
that
seen
that. Means you don't.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Sorry.
Could you take that down, please? And after you left, you never went back that night, did you?
No, sir.
Thank you.
Just briefly.
Okay.
On those issues, sir, you just testified on cross-examination before Mr. Brennan stood up again that you saw that the passenger's seat was empty. Do you remember that?
Yes.
All right. You're not changing that testimony?
No, sir? I'm not changing that, no.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, you are all set, Mr. Nagel.
Thank you very much.
Your next witness, Mr. Brennan.
Thank you, Your Honor. Commonwealth calls Heather Mason.
You solemnly swear the evidence given before the jury in the case now hearing for the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do. Excuse me. Good morning. Whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
Could you please introduce yourself to the jury?
Hi, I'm Heather Maxon, M-A-X-O-N.
How old are you?
I'm 31.
Do you live in the area?
I do.
How long have you lived in the area for?
My whole life.
Do you know a person by the name of Ryan Nagel?
Yes.
And how did or how do you know him?
I dated him a few years back.
I want to have you take us back a few years to January 29, 2022. Do you remember that evening?
Yep.
Where were you earlier that evening on January 28, 2022?
We were at Ryan's parents' house. Just hanging out.
Whose parents?
Ryan's.
Right. Were you with anybody else besides Ryan and his parents?
Eventually we met up with friends.
Where?
At local restaurants.
Did you end up at one restaurant or bar in particular at the end of the night?
We were first at C.F. McCarthy's and then we went over to the Hillside.
Were you drinking?
Yes.
Do you remember about how many drinks you had?
No.
Did the alcohol affect your perception or your memory at all?
Most likely, yes.
Do you feel like you were impaired in any way?
I believe so, yes.
After you left the establishments, after they closed, did you go somewhere?
We went to pick Ryan's sister up, Julie, from a friend's house. She needed a ride.
Before you went to pick Ryan's sister up, did you have other plans before that?
Sorry, could you repeat the question?
Yes. Before the decision was made to go pick up Ryan's sister, was there other plans that you were...
No.
That was just the plan to go get her?
Yeah.
Do you remember generally or specifically what time that was?
Late, midnight.
Okay. Do you remember the time exactly?
No.
Is there any marker in your mind that would help you remember exactly what time it was?
Not necessarily, no.
So is that a generalization or a guess?
Yes.
Okay. When you went to pick up Ryan's sister, do you know where you were going?
No.
Were you driving?
I was not.
Who was driving?
Our friend Ricky.
Where were you sitting?
In the back seat.
And what kind of vehicle was it?
It was a truck.
Are you familiar with the area?
Not necessarily, no.
Do you remember at some point taking a turn onto the road?
Yes.
That had the house where you were going to arrive?
Yes.
How do you remember that?
Just a visual bystander, and I'm aware of my surroundings, okay. I'd say.
Did anything happen that made you remember the turn before you got onto that road?
There was another vehicle also on the road coming from the opposite direction, and we had let that other vehicle turn onto the road before us.
Describe in a little detail what happened at that intersection.
So I don't recall the name of the street that we were on before we took the left onto the street that the house was located, but the car coming from the opposite direction was taking a right onto the same street, so we had somewhat yielded to the car coming from the opposite direction to have let them take a turn onto the street before us.
Did you see if the driver of either vehicle gave any indication to the other vehicle who should go first?
I don't necessarily recall, but I'm assuming maybe...
I don't want you to assume. That's okay if you don't recall.
Sure.
Who turned first onto the road, Ricky or the other car?
The other vehicle.
The other vehicle. Do you know what type of vehicle it was?
It was a big, like an SUV, a bigger car.
The SUV turned before you?
Yes.
Before or when the SUV turned, did you get to see inside the vehicle?
I did see inside the vehicle, yes.
Could you describe for the jury what you remember seeing?
I saw a male and a female inside the car.
Where was the female?
The female was driving and the male was in the passenger seat.
Was the male in the front passenger seat?
Yes.
Were you able to recognize either the female driving or the male in the front passenger seat?
Recognize?
Yes.
I'm not sure if I understand the question.
Did you know who they were?
No.
Strangers?
Yeah.
When they turned and then Ricky turned after them, how far ahead of Ricky were they?
Maybe 100 feet.
Could you see them the entire time?
No.
When you drove to Fairview, how long did it take after the turn?
A couple minutes.
It took a couple minutes to get from Cedar Crest to Fairview?
Maybe.
That's okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay. When you arrived at Fairview, where did Ricky stop?
Outside the house on the street.
Do you remember where on the street in relation to the driveway?
No.
The other vehicle, the SUV, was it in front of you or behind you when you stopped?
It was in front of us.
When it was in front of you, did you notice anything about the vehicle?
No.
Did you notice anything about its lights?
No.
Did you see whether the interior light, the dome light, was on or off?
I did as we were leaving.
Before you left?
No.
Did you ever see that dome light come on?
No.
Did you notice anything about the brake lights?
No.
Did you notice anything about the vehicle's taillights, whether they were intact or broken?
Nope.
When you arrived at that address, do you know the street address?
I do not.
Okay. When you arrived at that address, what happened next?
I believe Ryan had reached out to Julie saying, we're here, time to go. And so she had come outside and we had a short conversation and she decided that she was actually going to stay at the house. She had invited us in, but I had said that I didn't want to go inside. I just wanted to go back to the house.
From the time you first arrived at that address and until the time you left, did you ever see anybody get out of the SUV that was in front of the truck?
I did not.
Did you ever see anybody travel across the front yard to the doorway from that SUV?
Nope.
Did anybody ever walk by on the street, walk by the truck in front of you or behind your truck and walk on the driveway?
No. Well, besides Julie, sorry.
Julie is the only person that you saw in the driveway that night?
Yes.
And then you left?
Yes.
When you left, did you drive by the SUV?
We did.
When you drove by, what were you looking at?
My surroundings.
Okay. What did you see?
I saw the female that I saw beforehand, also still in the car.
Where did you see her?
In the driver's side.
Okay. Was there, at that point, any lights on inside the car?
There was, yes.
Dome
lights.
Was the driver's side door open?
Not to my knowledge.
Did you see anybody else inside the SUV?
I did not.
Was there anybody else inside the SUV?
Oh, you didn't see anybody inside the car?
Besides the driver, no.
Okay, next question.
Do you know whether there was anybody else inside the SUV at that time other than the driver?
No.
Did you look in and study the interior of the SUV?
No.
How long did you look inside the SUV for when you passed?
It was just passing, so I don't know, a couple seconds.
Did you see if there was anybody or a man standing outside the door of the SUV?
I did not.
I'll allow it.
Outside the door?
No.
Did you see anybody lying on the front lawn?
No.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
Before Ricky turned onto Fairview Road, you saw the SUV in front of Ricky's truck, facing it, taking a right-hand turn in front of you, correct?
Correct.
And at that point, you had an unobstructed good look at the driver and the front passenger, correct?
Correct.
And you could see that there was a female driving and a male in the front passenger seat at that time?
At that time, yes.
Now, ultimately, Ricky's car took a left after the other SUV took a right, correct?
Correct.
And eventually when you reached the house where Julie was, you saw that that SUV was in front of that house, parked now further down ahead of you, correct?
Correct.
And it took Julie a couple of minutes to come out of the house?
I'd say so, yeah.
Do you recall whether there was any conversation at that time between you, Ricky, and Ryan?
Possibly. I don't recall or remember what, but most likely, yes.
And you don't remember whether you were participating in a conversation or what was discussed?
Not necessarily, no.
You had your cell phone with you that night?
I did.
Like many of us, is your cell phone something that you tend to check when you're bored or there's a break in a conversation or you're not actively engaged in a discussion?
For sure.
And while you were waiting for Julie to come out of the house, do you recall whether you were checking out any web page or Instagram or text message or app on your cell phone?
I don't recall.
Can you testify with certainty that you were not checking your cell phone during that period of time?
Not with certainty, no.
And so you can't say for sure how long, if you did check your cell phone, you would have been looking at it while waiting for Julie, correct?
Correct.
And no one's asked you for your phone so that they can analyze what you were doing during that period of time outside 34 Fairview, correct?
Correct.
All right, well, you testified that you didn't see anybody get out of the SUV or approach the house, correct?
Correct.
You obviously don't know what did or didn't happen before you, Ricky, and Ryan arrived there, correct?
Correct.
While you were parked near the driveway, you weren't thinking that you had to watch the SUV every second in case you were later asked to describe what was going on with that vehicle, correct?
Correct.
And that SUV was the same vehicle that you recognize as previously having a female driving and a male in the passenger seat, correct?
Correct.
And as far as you know, you didn't know either of them at that time?
No.
Fair to say that
what they were doing was their business and you weren't particularly interested in what they were doing, correct?
Correct.
You were there to pick up your boyfriend's sister, correct?
Yes.
It was late and you were tired.
Very much so, yes.
You'd had a good amount to drink.
Mm-hmm.
You did not want to continue to drink and socialize, correct?
Correct.
Fair to say you were looking forward to ending the night at that point?
Yes.
And so you were more focused on hopefully getting Julie in the car so you could leave than anything that was going on in the SUV, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Then Julie came out, and it wasn't as simple as her just jumping in the vehicle and leaving, correct?
Correct.
There had to be a discussion.
Right.
Right? And she came out to speak to the three of you for about 5 minutes or so?
I'd say.
Like a back and forth about who's going where?
Yeah.
And when Ricky was pulling away, you looked over to the SUV and you saw that the interior light was lighting up the front compartment, correct?
Correct.
And it was then that you looked over and you saw a female in the driver's seat, correct?
Yes.
You did not see any person in the passenger seat, correct?
Correct.
And you certainly did not see a 6-foot-tall off-duty police officer in the SUV at any point on Fairview Road.
Correct.
I have nothing further. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything, Mr. Brennan?
When Ricky was speaking to Julie and you were in the back cabin of the truck, what direction were you facing?
I don't recall.
Were you paying attention to the conversation with Julie?
I was probably in and out of the conversation, yes.
Were you facing the direction of the house and the SUV, or were you facing the opposite direction?
I don't think I was facing the opposite.
When you were in the cabin of the car and Ricky was having the conversation with Julie, did you ever see anybody other than Julie come in or out of the house?
No.
Objection. I'll allow it.
No further questions. Thank you.
May we approach briefly?
Okay.
All right, Ms. Maxson, you are all set. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Mr. Brennan, your next witness.
Okay. The Commonwealth calls Katie McLaughlin.
Okay. Sorry, Chris. Why don't we take our morning recess, James? Take 20 minutes.
All rise, please. Jurors, close your notebooks and follow me. Court is back in session. You may be seated.
Do you have your next witness?
I do. The Commonwealth's going to call Sarah Levinson.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Oh.
Do you solemnly swear the evidence you give to the court and jury in the case now in hearing should be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
Sorry. Good morning. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Brennan, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon.
Could you please introduce yourself to the jury?
My name is Sarah Levinson.
For the court reporter, would you mind spelling your last name?
So it's Sarah with an H and then L-E-V-I-N-S-O-N.
Ms. Levinson, do you mind if I ask how old you are?
I'm 26. I'll be 27 next month.
Do you work?
Yes.
What do you do?
I'm a nurse.
How long have you been a nurse for?
About 4 years.
Before you became a nurse, did you go to school?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about your educational background, please.
I got my bachelor's at Regis College.
Do you know a person by the name of Ryan Nagel?
Yes.
How do you know him?
He's one of my good friend Julie's older brothers.
You mentioned Julie. What's Julie's name?
Juliana Nagel.
Are you friends with Julie Nagel?
Yes.
To this day?
Yes.
Were you with Ms. Nagel back on January 28, 2022?
Yes.
I want you to take us back to that day, the earlier evening hours of January 28, 2022, maybe around 5 or 6 p.m. Did you have a plan that day?
Yes, we as in myself and Julie, were going to Brian Albert Jr.'s house to celebrate his birthday, which was the next day.
Who was Brian Albert Jr. to you at that time?
One of my good friends.
How long had you known Brian Albert Jr. for?
At that point, probably 8 or 9 years, I would say.
Did you attend school with him?
Yes, high school.
Is that when you met Brian Albert Jr. in high school?
Yes.
Who was going to Brian Albert Jr.'s house with you?
Just myself and Julie.
Did you have a general plan for that evening other than to visit your friend and celebrate his birthday?
It was kind of up in the air if we were going to stay there or go somewhere, but we were definitely going and celebrating with him.
Do you know the address where Brian Albert Jr. lived?
Yes.
Could you share that with us?
34 Fairview Road, I believe. Road.
Had you been to 34 Fairview Road before?
Yes.
Did you know Brian Albert Jr.'s family?
Yes.
Had you met them in the past?
Yes.
How often had you met with them before?
Well, I was friends with him for, like I said, about 8 years. So I knew his older sister, Caitlin, pretty well. We went to high school together, but the younger siblings, I don't believe we overlapped in school. And then his mother, I had met, a good amount of times, and then his father, too, I would say.
How many times would you estimate you had been over 34 Fairview prior to the night of January 28, 2022?
Over the years, maybe like 20, I don't know.
Do you remember what time you arrived at 34 Fairview Road on that evening?
It was between 7 and 8 o'clock at night.
Who did you go with?
Myself and Julie Nagel.
Could you tell us how both you and Julie Nagel got from where you were living, your home, to 34 Fairview?
Yes, Julie's dad drove us.
When you first get to 34 Fairview Road, before you walk in the front door, what's the weather like outside?
It was cold, but it wasn't raining or snowing or anything.
No snow on the ground?
No.
When you walked in the door, did you go in the side door or the front door?
The side door.
Okay. Take us through walking into the house. What do you see?
So we walked through the side door, and then it's their like family room, they call it, with like the TV and everything. And then at the back of the family room is like a sliding glass door out into their porch. And then if you turn left, it's like the kitchen / dining room. And then there's a back door. There's like a small bathroom over like near the back door. And then if you walk straight through, it's the front door the stairs, the door to the basement, and then they called it like the library is like their formal living room.
If you walked in the front door, would the stairs leading to the next floor upstairs be right in front of you?
Yes.
If you were going to go downstairs, would you walk around that staircase to the back side of it?
I don't believe the back, but the side.
Okay. You mentioned you walked in the side door near the garage. When you walk in the side door, you're in a living room, did you say?
Yeah, their family room, they call it, yeah.
Can you walk into the garage from the family room, or do you need to go back outside to get into the garage?
No, you would have to go back outside.
So there's no door in that family room that leads directly to the garage?
No.
After you walked into the family room, did you stay there or did you go somewhere?
We stayed there for a little bit, like 10, 15 minutes probably.
Tell me who's in the house when you get there.
It's Brian Jr., his mother, Nicole, his sister, Caitlin, and then his aunt, Julie.
What do you do?
I think we were just sitting on the couch, hanging out, waiting to see what the plan was, to see like when other people were gonna show up.
Did other people arrive, or did people leave before other people arrived?
Brian's mom, sister, and aunt left before anyone else arrived.
Do you know generally around what time his aunt and mother and sister left?
We got there, like I said, between 7 and 8, and they probably left within 20 minutes of us getting there.
Okay.
So I can't say for sure.
When his sister and mother and aunt left, was there just a time when it was you, Julie, and Brian Albert Jr. alone?
Yes.
Were you doing anything other than watching TV? Were you eating, drinking?
I don't think we were eating yet because we ordered later on food, but we might have been drinking.
Tell us what happens over the course of the next couple hours.
So at some point, probably between like 8 and 9, four other girls showed up. So Courtney Alba came by herself, and then Catherine Duty, Emily Fabiano, and Mary Kent all came together.
Are those friends of Brian Jr.'s?
Yes.
Did you know who all of them were?
Yes.
Were you friendly with them?
Some of them, yes. We were all friendly, but not friends. That makes sense.
So what's the atmosphere like when the visitors come?
Celebratory, light, joyful. It was fine.
Were people drinking alcohol?
Yes.
Okay. And at some point, did you order food?
Yes.
And did anybody else come at that point? Any other friends or family?
No.
Did one of Brian Jr.'s cousins come at some point?
Yes.
Is that later?
Yes.
So over the course of the next couple hours, eating and drinking, anything significant happen?
No.
Any arguments, any tension, any problems?
No.
Was it a positive night?
Yes.
At some point, did anybody else come to the house?
Later on, yes.
Okay, about what time?
Around midnight.
So before midnight, it's a group of young people having a party?
Yes.
Any trouble?
No.
Did the friends of Brian Albert Jr., the four women, did they leave before midnight?
Yes.
What time did they leave?
Between, I would say, 11 and 11:30.
Did they arrive and leave as a group, or did they arrive and leave separately?
The three girls that I mentioned that came together, Catherine, Emily, and Mary, all left together. And then Courtney left, I believe, before them, separately.
I want you to tell us, generally, where were you spending most of your time that night, the eating and the drinking and the party?
In the kitchen slash dining room area.
Is there a table in the kitchen?
Yes.
Were you sitting at that, a seat at that table?
At that point, we were more around the island, but later on, yes, I had a seat at the like kitchen table.
If you're in the kitchen seated at the table, can you see outside?
Not really. if I looked like through the windows above the sink of the kitchen. I guess I could if it was light out, and then the windows like to the front of the house had a little like half curtain, I don't know what it's called, thing on it. So I could see like above that, but not.
If you were to walk to the windows in the living room area, what area was it, did you say, the half
like
window
throw? The dining room.
If you were to walk to those windows, could you see outside?
Yes.
Would you be able to see the driveway?
Yes.
Flagpole?
Yes.
Street?
Yes.
The door, do you remember the front door, if it was solid or glass?
They have like a storm door that's glass and then a solid regular door.
If you opened up the solid door and looked, could you see through the glass door to the front yard?
Yes.
At any point, did you have a chance to look outside that night?
No.
If you're in the living room, I'm sorry, the kitchen, can you see where the basement access is?
Yes.
Can you see the backyard door?
Yes.
You mentioned that the visitors, the young woman that came to see Brian Jr. left. After they left, did somebody else come to or arrive at Fairview?
After they left, yes.
And who was that?
It was Brian's father. His name is also Brian. Mr. Higgins. Brian's mother came back, his sister Caitlin, and then his aunt Jennifer and his uncle Matt.
If I can just step back just a little time before the adult group showed up.
Yes.
Did any other of Brian Jr.'s cousins come to Fairview?
Yes.
And who was that?
Colin, but he showed up before the girls left.
He showed up before the group of young women left?
Yes.
How long did you see him stay for?
Probably half an hour, 45 minutes.
Did you get a chance to speak to him?
Yes.
Did the mood change at all in the house?
No.
When the adults came to the house, do you know about what time that was?
Around midnight.
You mentioned that you saw Brian Albert. Is that Brian Albert Jr.'s father?
Correct.
And his mother's name?
Nicole.
You also mentioned a person by the name of Brian Higgins. Did you know him from before that night?
No.
Did you meet him that night?
Yes.
Are you now familiar with who he is and what he looks like from that night?
Yes.
There was somebody else you said? Brian Jr.'s aunt and uncle?
Yes, and then his sister.
His aunt and uncle, what are their names?
Jennifer and Matt McCabe.
Did you know Mrs. McCabe from before that night?
Somewhat.
Had you ever socialized with her?
I don't believe so. I knew who she was. I don't know if she knew my name, but I think she knew I was Brian's friend.
Had you seen her before?
Yes.
Was that in relation to spending time with Brian Jr.?
Yes, I believe so.
Had you ever seen her or spent time with her outside of Brian Jr.'s presence?
No.
How about her husband, Matt McCabe? Did you know who he was?
I knew who he was, but I don't believe I had ever met him in person before, no.
Anybody else, any other adults come with that group?
No.
Do you remember who got back to, who came into Fairview first as far as the adult group?
Yes.
Who?
Mr. Albert, Brian's dad, and Mr. Higgins.
And who came next?
Next, I think they all kind of walked in together, Caitlin, Nicole, Jennifer and Matt.
Other than you, Julie, and Brian Albert Jr., had the young group left at that point?
Yes.
After that group arrived, what happens? Tell us what's happening inside the house.
So it then was Brian Jr.'s actual birthday. So again, we were celebrating. Caitlin, his sister, was playing music on one of the speakers. And we're all pretty much sitting or standing around the kitchen table, talking, socializing.
Do you remember what was being played for music?
Like 70s, 80s type of music. I don't want to overstate it, but.
Were you drinking?
I don't believe I was anymore at that point, no.
Did you feel impaired at all?
No.
As the night grew on, was there any problems in the house?
No.
Any argument?
No.
Any fighting?
No.
Anything exciting or controversy in any way?
No.
Did you have a plan that you were going to leave with Julie?
Yes.
What was the plan?
She said that her oldest brother, Ryan, would pick us up and drive us home when he was done wherever he was.
Did you see at any point before you ultimately left Fairview, did you see your sister leave the house? Did you see Julie Nagel leave the house?
Yes.
Did you actually see her go and leave?
Yes.
About how long did she leave for?
5 minutes or less.
Did you see her come back?
Yes.
After she went out of the house and came back in, did the plan change about a ride home with her brother?
Yes.
What was the new plan?
So a little bit before she went out to talk to Ryan, we were talking, myself, her, and then Jen. We're talking about how we were leaving and Julie's older brother was going to come pick us up. And we were the only ones that weren't like related to the Alberts there. So like Brian's friends left. So Jen was like, oh, like, don't leave just yet, because like we were celebrating Brian's birthday. If you want, myself and Matt can drive you home a little bit later. So we agreed to that. And then Jen said, feel free to invite Ryan inside, because he was already on his way. So Julie went out to tell Ryan, like, hey, we're not coming with you. But
you weren't outside for the conversation, so you just heard this second from Julie.
Yeah.
So from what you saw, Julie went in and out?
Yes.
For about 5 minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Why did you decide to stay? Did you want to stay?
Yeah, I didn't mind.
Did the night continue after Julie came back in and spoke to her brother?
Yes.
Was the mood any different than it had been the entire night?
No.
Anything extraordinary or remarkable happen inside that house?
No.
After Julie went out and spoke to her her brother and came back in the house, did anybody else come inside the house other than everybody who was already there celebrating Brian Jr.'s birthday?
No.
Did you ever see another man or woman you didn't know come into that house?
No.
At some point, there was a decision that you would leave, I suppose?
Yes.
What time do you think you left generally?
Between 1:30 and 2 in the morning.
Do you have a specific time? Did you look at your watch? Did you know a certain time you left?
No, I believe it was closer to 1:30, because I believe I was home by 2, but I can't say for sure.
When you left, tell us what the weather was like when you went outside. Was it the same as when you came in?
No, it was snowing.
What was the conditions like? Had they changed, the wind or temperature?
Yes. Yeah, it was colder.
How much snow was on the ground at that point when you left?
I don't know, a dusting, or I could still see like some little pieces of grass like sticking out of it. But it was pretty much like the walkway and everything was white.
Did you leave by the front door or the side door?
The front.
You remember that?
Yes.
Was there any type of hazard or difficulty with you walking?
Julie and I walked out together down like the front stoop stairs. And I remember we were arm in arm. I was wearing shoes that didn't really have traction, so I was looking at my feet, so I didn't slip. And other than that, no real hazard, I wouldn't say.
Whose car or vehicle did you walk to?
Jennifer and Matt's.
Did you get in?
Yes.
What seat did you get in?
The back seat behind the passenger.
And where did Julie Nagel sit?
The back seat behind the driver.
Did the McCabes get into the car?
Yes.
Who was driving?
Matt. And then Jen was in the passenger seat.
Front passenger?
Yes.
As you were leaving, was there any conversation or joking going on?
Yes. So Matt actually forgot his jacket inside, so he went back in. And then I I believe myself and or Julie turned around just kind of looking, and we saw a lone loaf of bread in the third row. So one of us said something to Jen about the loaf of bread, which she had gotten because of the storm. And I believe Jen was turned around looking at us and said something along the lines of, "Does anyone want a peanut butter and jelly?" Joking around.
Do you remember that moment, having the conversation about the bread?
Yes.
It stands out?
Yes.
As you drove out of Fairview, you were in the McCabe vehicle was in the driveway?
Yes.
Did it back out or go out forward?
No, backed out.
When it backed out and began to drive away, what side of the vehicle was closest to Fairview?
You mean the house?
Yes. Was the passenger side of the McCabe vehicle closest to 34 Fairview, the house, or was it the driver's side?
The passenger.
When you drove, did you drive towards the flagpole?
Yes.
And during those moments when you were, or Mr. McCabe was driving towards the flagpole, was that the time you were having conversations about the bread, or was that a different time?
That was a different time.
What was happening as you were driving past that area in front of the house?
I believe maybe I was on my phone, and then Julie said something.
Did you ever look out the window near the front yard, near the flagpole area?
Not like at the front yard, but a little ways up the street, yes.
Next to 34 Fairview, up the street is 32 Fairview?
I believe so, yes.
When you looked out the window, the first time you looked out the window, what were you facing in relation to 32, 34 Fairview? What could you see?
There's like a little bit of woods in between the two houses, so it was the trees.
Did you notice anything that stood out?
No.
Ultimately, did you get home that night?
Yes.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, Ms. Levinson.
Good morning.
You've been longtime friends, as you've described, with Brian Albert Jr., going all the way back to high school.
Yes.
And that high school friendship has percolated into a friendship into adulthood.
Yes.
You obviously know much of the entire immediate family, Brian Albert Sr., his wife Nicole Albert, correct?
Yes.
You know his uncle Chris Albert?
Yes.
You're familiar with his wife, Julie Albert?
Yes.
Obviously, Brian Albert and his cousins, which cousins are they? Last names.
Do I know?
Right.
There's the Alberts, and then there's the Galvins, the Reardons, and the McCabes.
Okay. You indicated that you've been to the Albert home probably, and 34 Fairview, that's the home I'm talking about.
Yes.
Probably you estimated at least 20 times, correct?
Over the years, yes.
Over the years. And you've known Brian Albert for, well, since high school, I mean, in the last 8, 10, 12 years, you've been to the house to and from.
Yes.
You've never met, or you had never met, going into January 29th, 2022, you had never met their dog, had you?
Their dog?
Their dog.
I'm not completely sure.
Didn't you testify about a year ago in another proceeding that although you had been to the Albert home many times, you had never actually met the dog?
If that's what it says I said, then yes.
Is that because the dog was not really good with strangers?
Objection.
Sustained.
Do you know why you hadn't met Chloe? By the way, did you know the dog's name was Chloe?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know why you hadn't met Chloe in all those trips to 34 Fairview?
No.
Just wasn't out and about among the folks that were in the house when you were there?
Yes.
When you left 34 Fairview, I want to follow up very briefly on a couple of things that you said just before Mr. Brennan sat down under questioning by him. When you left 34 Fairview to join Jen McCabe at her invitation to take you home, you left through the front door, correct?
Yes.
As opposed to the side door, it's a little confusing. The front door has the brick stoop and the stairs, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Is that the door that you normally would leave through, or did you normally leave through the side door, come and go through the side door? What was your more ready habit and practice?
Probably the side door.
Okay. When you left through that front door, there was nothing obstructing your view as you walked out, correct?
Correct.
You could see to the left, the driveway. You could see to the right, over toward the flagpole. Nothing obstructing anything, correct?
Correct.
There was a light dusting of snow at that time when you left just after, what time was it? 12:45, 1?
Probably 1:30, 1:45. Yeah.
Got it. So you leave at 1:30. There's still just a light dusting of snow on the ground?
Yes.
The yard is flat?
Yes.
You could see all the way out to the flagpole?
Yes.
You didn't notice anything unusual at that time when you looked out toward the flagpole walking out of that front door?
I didn't notice anything. I wasn't looking out at the flagpole, but yes.
You were looking in that direction when you walk out of the door. Obviously, you're standing, walking out of the door toward the front yard, correct?
Correct, but as I stated, I was looking down at my shoes in front of me.
Okay. Obviously, then you have to, at some point, you have to look up to see where you're going. You have to turn left to go to the driveway. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Then you walk over and walk parallel to the yard again to walk over to the car. Correct?
Yes.
And as soon as you walked out of the stoop, you had to figure out where the stairs were, so make sure you don't fall down the stairs, right?
Yes.
But you're still looking up, like normal, correct, at some point?
Most likely.
My question is, you didn't see anything unusual in the yard, did you?
No.
The front yard was at least relatively, I know it was dark out, Ms. Levinson, it was relatively lit by the interior windows as well as lights on the outside of the house?
Yes.
Okay. You indicated that you did, in fact, get the ride home with Jen McCabe and Matt McCabe. Who brought up giving you a ride home? Was it Jen?
Yes.
Okay. And she also mentioned it, did she mention it in your presence to Julie as well?
About the ride home?
About the ride home.
Yes, in my presence.
Okay. You said that Matt McCabe was driving, but before he got in the car, he realized he had forgotten his jacket and went back in, correct?
Yes, I don't know if he had gotten in the car and then got out, or he just opened the door, but yes.
He was at the car, at least.
Yes.
So he had exited, by definition, he had had to have exited, pardon me, the house through the front door, as you did, to go out to the car the first time?
Yes.
And then he got to the car, then realized he forgot his jacket, walked back toward the front door, went back in the main door?
Correct, yes.
And you saw that?
Yes.
Then he, once he retrieved or fetched his jacket, he then walked back out that same front door down the stoop, looking out over the lawn and then over to the car, correct?
I didn't see him walk back out, but I mean, probably. I don't want to say yes for sure because I wasn't watching him at that point.
Understood. No reason to believe that he would have used a different door.
Correct, yeah.
Okay. Your Honor, may I have just a moment?
Okay.
You were contacted ultimately by law enforcement to provide an interview, correct?
Yes.
That was not until October of 2022, is that right?
Yes.
A couple of quick questions about that. Nobody contacted you on January 30th, the day after the incident that you left the house, correct?
No.
And when I say nobody, I mean from law enforcement. Nobody contacted you the next week?
No.
The next month?
No.
It was 9 months later?
Yes.
When you were finally approached, who was it that conducted the interview?
State Trooper Michael Proctor.
Okay. Did Mr. Proctor indicate to you why he waited 9 months to contact you?
Objection.
Sustained.
Let me ask a different question. Were you confused about the fact that you weren't contacted?
Objection.
Sustained.
May we approach?
Okay.
May I, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you. When you were finally interviewed, let me ask a different question. When you were ultimately interviewed in October of 2022, was that telephonically or was that in person?
In person.
Were you alone or was there anybody else with you?
I was alone. You mean like besides the troopers?
Besides the troopers.
Yeah, I was alone.
And had you prepared for that interview with any person or persons before that interview?
No.
Had you spoken to anybody, Julie or anybody else, about the potential for being interviewed?
I believe Julie called me to tell me.
If I may, don't tell me what was said. Did you speak with Julie before the interview? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. One more question. Without telling me any of the words that were used, was the subject matter the interview? In other words, I'm not asking if you talked to Julie about going and getting the dry cleaning picked up or something like that. Did you talk about the subject of the interview with Julie before you were interviewed?
Somewhat.
Okay. That's all I have. Thank you.
Anything, Mr. Brennan?
Briefly, Your Honor. Could I have Exhibit 3, please?
Do you see the windows on that house?
Yes.
Do you recognize that house as 34 Fairview?
Yes.
You were asked whether there was light coming out of the house illuminating. Do you remember that?
When I was asked that?
Yes.
Yes.
Was the lights inside the house, from your memory, illuminating the ground near the flagpole and that fire hydrant?
No.
When you came out of the house and went to the car, were you looking at or studying the flagpole area or the bushes or the fire hydrant in that area?
No.
Do you have any reason to be looking over there and studying anything?
No.
Thank you.
I have nothing further.
All right, Ms. Levinson, you are all set.
Thank you.
And your next witness, please, Mr. Brennan.
Thank you, Your Honor. The Commonwealth will call Katie McLaughlin.
You saw Mr. Fairview, let's give the court and jury in the case now in hearing for the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you out.
Good morning.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Good morning. Whenever you're ready, Mr. Brennan.
Thank you. Ma'am, could you please introduce yourself to the jury?
My name is Katie McLaughlin. I'm 29 years old. I work for the town of Canton as a firefighter paramedic.
Did you study to become a paramedic firefighter?
Yes.
Why did you become interested in becoming a paramedic firefighter?
Objection.
Oh.
I enjoy helping people. I have some family members who work in the healthcare field, and I just always thought it was interesting, and I wanted to do something meaningful with my life.
Did you have to have any special training or education to become a firefighter and paramedic?
Yes, you do. About 2 years of schooling. It's divided in between a didactic portion and then a clinical portion in the hospital and ambulance. So it takes about 2 years to finish.
You completed that?
Yes.
Did you become a firefighter at the same time you became a paramedic, or were those separate educations?
They're separate. I became a paramedic first before I became a firefighter.
Did you work as a paramedic before you became a firefighter actively in the field?
Yes, for a few years.
Do you remember about when you first started working as a paramedic?
2016 or 17.
And when did you first become a firefighter?
2017.
Do you remember when you first began working for the Canton Fire Department?
I believe it was May of 2017.
Are you still employed by the Canton Fire Department?
Yes.
In your paramedic training, did you learn how to provide care for people who are in need?
Yes.
Had you, before 2022, responded to different events or people's homes or public locations to help people?
Yes.
About how many calls? Could you estimate how many different calls you had been on as a paramedic or firefighter leading into the beginning of 2022?
Probably hundreds.
I want to ask you some background as a paramedic firefighter, your role as you see it. As a paramedic firefighter, are you part of law enforcement?
No.
Do you investigate crimes?
No.
Do you write police reports?
No.
When you're going to a scene and using your skills to help somebody, are you interested in whether or not somebody was involved or responsible for an event?
No.
What is your focus when you go to a scene to help somebody? What's your priority?
To help the patient, to save someone's life.
Do you have a chance, or do you try to assess the patient, speak to them if they can speak to you?
If we can, yep.
Is there times when the person can't speak?
Yes.
If a person can't speak to you, is there a role that you take to try to get information to help, to assist the person?
Yes, you would go to a bystander and you try to gather as much information as you can to help the patient. More information for us helps the patient in their treatment, and it helps the hospital when we bring them there.
Is that responsibility or role separate and apart from police work?
Yes.
As a paramedic firefighter, are you involved in police work at all?
No.
Sometimes when you go to a scene and you try to help somebody, you write a report?
If you're in a particular role, you would write the report.
So when you go and arrive at a scene, is it fair to say you don't always write a report?
Correct.
And the purpose of the report, is that to try to help law enforcement?
No.
What's the purpose of when someone would write a report as a firefighter paramedic?
Depending on the call, there would be a report written by the officer on the call. That's just for logistics and dispatch information, what we responded to, and that's kind of simple. But the other report would be a medical report that the lead paramedic would write.
Were you working on January 29th, 2022?
Yes.
Was that an assigned shift for you?
Yes.
Did you volunteer or ask to work specially that night, or was that already assigned?
Ask it differently.
Was that assignment already set before that night?
Yes.
When you get a shift assigned to you, is it night by night, week by week, month by month?
It's just we rotate through. If you're on a group and you rotate through a schedule, it's set that you work 1/24, you have one day off, you work another 24, you have five off, and then the rotation begins again. So it's just a set schedule, essentially, but it rotates through the weeks.
Was January 29, 2022 part of your set schedule?
Yes.
When you have a set schedule, are you assigned a specific role in the department that might change from shift to shift?
Yes.
What was your specific role on January 29, 2022?
For that shift, I was on the engine. I was the back step. So there's an engine driver, there's an engine lieutenant, and then there's one person in the back who's just a firefighter status. And we call that the back step.
As the back step that night, did you have any specific or general responsibilities if there was a call?
Generally, if it's a fire-related call, you deal with that. If it's a medical call, you're there to assist the paramedics that are on the ambulance, and you take directive from them. Whatever they ask you to do or need you to do, you're just there to assist them so that they can best focus on the patient.
When you arrive at a scene and you're on the back step, are you basically at the directive of the leader of the group?
Yes.
That morning, around a little after 6 in the morning on January 29, 2022, do you remember a call or a tone coming in?
Yes.
Do you remember what it was for?
It was for a man down in the snow or a man unresponsive in the snow.
Do you remember leaving the fire department that night?
I do.
Tell us, as you're leaving, what's happening.
So I'm in the engine, the command car with the captain who runs the shift, started 234 Fairview Road first. The ambulance was in front of us, and then we were behind the ambulance.
Did you know the address you were going to was 34 Fairview Road?
Yes.
When you left the police station, the fire station, when you got on the back of the truck, did you know at that time who lived at 34 Fairview Road?
No.
Tell us a little bit about the conditions outside as you rode to 34 Fairview Road.
It was raining. I'm sorry, not raining. It was snowing pretty heavily. There was definitely snow on the ground at that point. It was windy. It was very cold.
Was there a storm?
Yes.
How long do you think it took to get from the fire station to Fairview Road?
Probably within 5 or 6 minutes.
When you first started pulling up towards Fairview Road, did you see anything?
Police cruisers and a civilian vehicle. And then we pulled up all kind of in front of that.
How many police cruisers did you see as you pulled up to Fairview Road?
I remember seeing one.
There was an ambulance in front of you?
Yes.
Did the police cruiser have their lights on?
Yes.
Not just the headlights, did they have the lights that are often referred to as blue lights or overhead lights?
Yes.
Did you hear any sirens?
No.
How about the ambulance? Did the ambulance have emergency lights?
Yes.
Did you hear any sirens?
No.
The fire truck. Does the fire truck have emergency lights?
Yes.
Do you remember if those were activated?
Yep.
Does the fire engine have a siren?
Yes.
Was the siren activated?
No.
Why not?
We only use the sirens to kind of clear cars out of the road. So there's no need to use a siren when there's no cars on the road. So we're not just doing it in the middle of the morning to wake everybody up. It's just unnecessary.
When you first arrived at Fairview Road and you saw the emergency vehicles, did you see any people?
Yes.
While you were still in the fire truck or after you got out of the fire truck?
Probably after I got out.
After you got out of the fire truck, where do you go?
So I knew that they were working on a patient, so I knew they're going to need the stretcher. So myself and firefighter Walsh went right to the ambulance and retrieved the stretcher and brought it as close to the patient as we could.
At some point, did you see the patient?
Yes.
Was it he or she?
It was a man.
Where was he when you first saw him?
He was lying supine on the side of the road, up off the curb, like into a lawn.
How close to him were you when you first saw him?
Well, I only made it to the curb where I brought the stretcher. He was.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.